Yes, everybody, what's happening? My name is Stephen Nelson, joined by Patrick and by Boosh, and we are going to be, waffling over a brew this week. International break. That's a lot of bollocks, isn't it?
Hey.
Sound, see you next week. Do we have to talk about United?
Not really.
Cool. Get your questions in, and we will have a look at any questions that don't relate to United, and we'll answer them. There seems like there's a conversation already going off in the comments talking about how Italian football's dropped off and how AC Milan have fell to pieces. And I think there's a lot of parallels to be made there.
They have zero money, and that's it. It's been happening since, like, what? Like 2008, that whole thing. It's just, like, as in, like, the late 2000s, and now it's never picked back up, really. Juventus have just got a nice little monopoly over there. And
it's boring, isn't it?
Last time, Udby had Allegri, didn't they? In about 2012, maybe, I'd say.
They straight up don't have money, and that's why they've had to bring in this law, the David Beckham law, whatever they call it, where it's like players basically have to pay little to no tax on their massive wages, because the idea is, they have to pay less. We have to pay them less to give them a lot of money.
So it's more for them competitive.
And that's why a lot of the C-grade footballers are going from the Premier League over there.
Are you calling Chris Smalling a C-grade footballer?
Probably been kind to him,
I think he's ever fucking aspired to be a C-grade footballer. I could put Mkhitaryan's just gone there, Sanchez's gone there, Lukaku's gone there, put them in that bracket probably. Smalling? That was a weird transfer, wasn't it? Yeah. Roma?
Couldn't believe
Chris Smalling.
I think Joe Hart to Torino is the closest you're going to get to a weird transfer. But it's always weird seeing
Damian's gone.
It's always weird seeing English players.
I reckon Damian had moments in the last, probably a good 18 month where he just didn't come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, nobody cares.
But I'm the only thing I'm worried about is that it's going to happen to Dalot as well. I don't want to see it happen to him.
Don't say that.
Because I think he is a good player. And I hope that when he comes back from his injury, we really hammer in the fact that he can play both right and left. And when Luke Shaw's either
fucking shit
dead
at left
injured,
back, when will he play left back?
Well, I'm saying, like,
Barcelona
really,
away.
Really hammer in.
Bring him on.
Well, to be fair, everybody was really shy that game.
Really shy.
Like, really shy.
What's happening, everybody? Have you all got a brew? Thanks for joining us. It is Monday afternoon, 4 o'clock. It's time for tea. So we're having a brew. What are you having on yours?
Hey.
What are you having?
Tea.
Tea.
One sugar.
Tea one.
It's a little bit of milk, that's it. So
I'm a tea too, like a gentleman. Let's see what everybody's saying. No, not sponsored. If you are a tea company and you do want to sponsor us, then
please
get in touch.
House and Spray.
Yeah. What's he laughing at? Ilya United says, I hate the international break. It's shit, innit? I've been saying for a while now, and I'm going to blow my own trumpet because I think it's an absolutely mint idea. Bollocks all the international breaks off, and every summer, instead of having a tournament and a year off and a tournament and a year off, let's just make it tradition that you get maybe a bit more time off. So maybe the season always starts later in September or something. Because they do need a break. They do need a break. I'll give them that. But let's have international qualifying 1 year, international tournament the next, international qualifying for your Euros.
Yeah.
And then the Euros.
I think it's not a bad idea, but then you're right. They need breaks as well. Because what happened last season after the World Cup is a bunch of players were just knackered and just did not perform.
But look at this, right? We've got a 2 week break now, which you could easily fit 3 games into before the next lot of Premier League games. Mm. You could easily fit 3 games into that, but instead they've got to go away and do internationals for 1 or 2 games for most of them. And you could sack all of them. If you bend all the international breaks off, because you're not stopping, letting camps start and then international games start, if you sack them off all the way through, you could find probably an extra 5 or 6 weeks in a season that you could give breaks.
Well, probably easily, yeah. I guess it's just because it's an old thing and it's very hard in when you've got old institutions like FIFA and all that sort of crap who like to keep things the way they are to get them to change at all. Like, how many years has it taken them for them to, like, change the World Cup or, like, the Euros? They just don't do it. It's just the same thing every year.
They'll only change it to expand it.
Well, exactly, yeah, but to bring in more money. I don't think it's a bad idea. But it's just, you know, I think, you know, I enjoy international football still. I think when you watch some of the, not your England when they're playing San Marino or some crap like that, but watching, so you get some decent games, some decent football.
That's what the Nations League changed.
That, yeah,
it did make more competitive. But then you're still in a group now. I mean, I've not even looked at what the groups are for the qualifying, but I bet you've got a San Marino or some pish in there.
Well, no, but they're all down playing each other in the lower down league. Yeah, yeah, so San Marino would be playing Liechtenstein.
Should we have a look? Rather than just being
in the last one. Yeah, yeah, they're all, so it's all worked out.
That's Nations League, but in the qualifying.
Oh, in the qualifying. Oh, right, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure we've got San Marino or someone.
Kosovo away first game.
Hey, so let's have a look.
Great away.
So you've got Kosovo, Montenegro. Yeah, so we've still got absolute pish. What's the Montenegro side?
Not for 20p,
can you name me any Montenegro players?
Jovetic and Savic.
Can you name me three?
Vukinic,
for God's
nerd.
Sake. Speaking of weird countries,
Ireland!
I was going to say, Europa League. Who's going to Kazakhstan then?
Oh, not me.
You off?
No.
How 13-hour flight, wherever it is? In Europe? Sorry to any Kazakhstanis that watch, but...
We've got them at home this month.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
We've got them at home this month, like, haven't we?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. That's great. That's fine.
What are we hoping to see out of the Europa League? Because I want to see us take it like an under-23, almost reserve level.
Yeah, yeah. Then when we get into the later stages, I want to win it. But... Gomez.
It'll feel virtually, because when you play a first team in Europa League, you do get the emphasis back when, because the stadium probably won't be full because it's been, you know, not so.
Because it's fucking Astana.
Don't have to buy membership though, which I am going to take.
You do feel as though like it's a bit unrelatable to watch because the players don't seem to be like G'd up a try.
So you think there's a double edged sword of you're going to see players that actually give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the crowd might give a shit because the players are new.
Players have got nothing to lose in these competitions, but it can only enhance their reputation.
Of course, yeah. Or they could steal a first team place. If, yeah. You know, we've had pretty average turnout from the first team. Yep. Someone like an Angel Gomez could end the doubts that Solskjaer may have about him by going and absolutely wandering it around against the stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd rather see like people like Jimmy Garner, I'd rather see him play than an uninspiring Nemanja Matic get a starting place. I mean, Matic's probably going to start
now, but like the video, right? If you're wanting to see the under-23s United under-23s in the Europa League, give it a like. And if you want us to see it, take it seriously from the off, give it a downvote and let's have a look.
I think playing the young players is taking it seriously, because I think they're good enough to be in the squad, right? In like our first team squad, they're good enough to start getting game time here and there. So by playing them in that, we're thinking long term. We're thinking how competitively.
Boo, you're getting some right comments here.
Oh, brilliant!
Go on.
One says you're like Ben Mitchell from EastEnders.
I don't even know who that is. I don't know,
it's funny though.
I don't watch stuff on the TV, unfortunately.
It makes a nice change from me.
Boosh likes a coat.
Boosh likes a coat.
Which was from Cameron.
Oh, thank you. I'm waiting for the next sponsorship. I mean, I'd rather they bought me a coat myself.
Isn't there like outdoor gear people that sponsor you?
I hope so. Ski Sunday, maybe.
Crag Hoppers.
Oh, proper inbred.
Ken Allen. That's a top name, Ken Allen Ken. I hope that's your actual name.
That'd be excellent, yeah.
Hey, my screen's gone off here, by the way. What about Levitt, his Wales call-up? How far off the first team is he? Well, did you see the performance from him on Friday night? Mm-hmm. Jesus.
He is good.
Yeah. Did he do a no-look pass into the final third, which was weighted inch-perfect?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so our first team is like Pereira can't even do a regular pass into the final third at this point.
Yeah, Pereira's an interesting one in the squad in general. Like, he's always, a very so-so player. And now, this is the season. If he doesn't have a good season, then... I almost think the reason we're playing him is because we just don't have squad depth, do we? And Fred must be doing something wrong. Like, he has to be doing something wrong to not be being in the squad or anything.
Not even in the matchday squad.
Not even in the matchday squad.
He has to get in after this international break.
I think Ivory's been unfixed. He didn't have a proper pre-season. And he's been on a honeymoon or whatever.
How fit can you get? I mean, I know Brazilians like a party.
Well, I was about to say.
He's got to get in after this international break, because clearly our midfield's got problems, and we'll maybe try and toy around a few players to see if we can, if we can get a solution. Because our midfield doesn't control any games at the minute.
No, well, our midfield is a... Well, I mean, if you had to start... I mean, I've not actually done the looking into it, but I bet it's probably like 10th, 11th best midfield in the country.
I mean, I would say it's one of the least creative midfields we've ever had, like, ever.
It's not just creative. It's, in terms of strength and quality, I mean, McTominay's come on leaps and bounds, but he's still really limited, if we're being
which
honest.
Which is why I said from the beginning of the season, so much pressure and weight is on McTominay, because Pogba's going to do his thing, he's going to get the ball, he's going to go forward, and that leaves McTominay on his own as the defensive midfielder. That's tough on a lad who's like only had a full season in the team, not playing for that full season, playing different styles. And then also, with midfielders, you take longer to mature, don't you? Like, you're not like a forward where you can rely on pace and stuff to prove yourself early on. Like, with midfielders, you need to have a bit more of an idea about.
It's a bit like a centre half in a certain way, isn't it? The decision making, I think, doesn't really come in until you're a little bit later. That's why you always see people coming as wingers and fullbacks first.
Rashford, for example, is developing year on year on year, and that's only going to get better when you're playing him as a central striker, because, like you said, centre forwards need to take time to mature. That decision making, that maturity, that air of sort of...
you get a phenom, which you do get. You don't really get, but you don't get phenoms. People are going to be like, oh, what about the lip? All right, yeah, there's one.
He hasn't been doing that well at Juventus, though.
But you don't usually get phenoms as teenagers at centre mid unless they're surrounded, like Pogba was surrounded by Vidal and Pirlo. You can put the cherry on the top when you've got that ability next to you. United, for me, have to play a midfield three to make up for the deficiencies that we've got. But then, who is that third midfielder? Fred can be that guy, I think. But, I mean, he has to get a game to find.
I'm always tempted to say we just move to a 4-4-2 and just call it
three. Because we've gone full Brexit anyway, you might as well just go, fuck it.
I'm not going to lie to you, 4-4-2 is one of the most adaptable tactical formations ever. If you want to be attacking 4-2-4, you want to be defensive, everybody fucking comes back, and you still have the wingers who will get forward and the two strikers who will do damage. I think 4-4-2 is the perfect formation.
Atletico played it very well.
Southampton played against us in the second half, and we really come out quick until Danso got sent off, which is when we sort of got forward and we get
I just personally think you've got a midfield of Pogba and McTominay, and then if you need a more attacking team, you can pull someone in instead of McTominay, you can do whatever. If you need to be more defensive, you can put someone else in terms of McTominay. Your wingers is where the problem is, because we don't have a right winger, so you've got James on the left now, which is working. We'll talk about that in a minute. On the right, I don't know who you'd put. Then Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, something like that up front. I think it works a lot better, and I think it suits counter-attacking football a lot more. And I think it still doesn't solve the problem of the fact that we can't create anything against a static defence.
What other 4-4-2 teams, though, their strength is really out wide? Like, or they play sort of inverted wingers, like a bit like Atletico, where they go a bit narrow, and I just don't feel as we've got a profile of players to do that.
Or do you play 4-4-2 with a false winger of Mata?
Yeah.
No, you can't do it. Even Leicester did it quite well with traditional style wingers. I think was it Albrighton and Mahrez that they used?
Yeah.
Well, this is it. We need traditional wingers. James offers a bit more of being that. But
it's like the strikes as well. It's like the best teams who do it, Atletico, obviously, it's like they had Griezmann and Diego Costa and people like that, people who have proven goal scorers. One can drop off and be in crit like Griezmann. And
one's an absolute physical bully.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, look at him and you get frightened, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what also we need, frankly.
We do. We really need.
We need that plan B.
I mean, people laughed when I said, like, fucking, Andy Carroll. But Andy Carroll would offer us something that we just don't have.
Well,
he's going to play half a dozen games a year.
Well, until he retired, it was my genuine belief that Peter Crouch should have been called up to every single England squad ever. Because the final minutes of a game, you're losing to Croatia in the semi-final, you put Peter Crouch on, you put the ball in the box, and you see what fucking happens.
Apart from the fact that he actually couldn't head a ball to save his life, and when he jumped, he sort of did this scissor motion where his head stayed in the exact same place, and he's just his ass went backwards and his legs come up.
Still an excellent record for England. Like, undeniably.
Goal, what have he scored against?
Still scored. He
scored against pish like Montenegro and that was it.
Jamaica.
There you go. Stat padded.
Oh, I like Peter Crouch. Stat padded. That's what we're trying to do with Rashford by putting him on pens. That didn't even work, so I don't know what we're going to do now.
Let's see what you guys are saying in the comments. Most intelligent midfielders in the league are Eriksen and De Bruyne. I don't think anyone would really argue with that. The fact Eriksen, I thought Eriksen was pretty good against Arsenal at the weekend.
He was
highlighting reasons why I wanted him. For me, it's always been Son in that team that is the danger as well.
Oh, he's wonderful. Son is a proper quality player.
I couldn't believe it when Spurs took him off, because he was their only sort of quick breaking outlet in the second half, and they took him off and they only had, I think the final attack was in like the 90th minute, but I think that was like for only attack we half really. Is it?
I think it always reminds me of the other Korean footballer Ji-Sung Park, who played in the Premier League properly. Then I mean, I loved him so much. He was so underrated, and that sort of work rate, you know, he was so useful for the right games. I think he scored against Arsenal in pretty much every single game that he played against them. Arsene Wenger apparently still looks under his bed when he goes to sleep to make sure Ji-Sung Park isn't there.
When I interviewed Reading Bullenstein, I can't remember if it was on camera or off camera, because whenever you get footballers or coaches and stuff like that, and you get the persona that they put on camera with you when you're rolling, and then when it's not rolling, they take the banter and the piss taking up to another notch.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, they're professionals, they've got to work in the game. Rennie, I think, spoke about it a little bit when we were talking about playing Arsenal. He's like, we had their number. Off camera, he was like, oh, we fucking had their number, all right. Like, yeah. We just knew how to play against them, and then we just fucking...
We still do, really. Like, even if we're playing dead football, we will, against top six sides, we will still turn up against Arsenal, because it's Arsenal.
They've not beat us at Old Trafford in the league since 2006.
Delightful. They might say that they've won the league there, but
to be fair, they bring that up, but if you remember in back end of 08-09, we actually got a point against them, which won the league against them. So,
Arsenal,
they haven't won a league for 15 years. Yeah. Will we get to 15 years?
No, maybe a decade. For sure, a decade.
I think we definitely get to 10.
Yeah.
Which is, you know... But this is it, man. We're going through such an upheaval. Like, the club was left in an awful situation. Like, if you didn't have Ferguson there for the last probably 5 years or so, the club will have been in this situation anyway. It would have fallen apart. He held it together, and he kept us as challenging for actual stuff. Which is mental. It tells you just how good he was at man management and all that.
What year was it Sven was talking about coming in? 2002?
Yeah.
Many.
So, imagine we'd have got Sven in 2002. Because we won the league in 2003, and that was more of a Beckham to Rude sort of assist goal sort of thing, which I think was pretty much all that happened. And then the Glazers came in 2005. Let's just do a sliding door moment here. That Fergie goes, yeah, fuck it, I'm done, in 2002. Walks off into the sunset. Still one of the greatest ever. Not quite to the level he reached by what he did with building that.
He's got to manage Scotland or some crap.
He probably would have done. Yeah, he might have gone out to a foreign country or something. Because I reckon he still had the itch. I think he's still got the itch.
Yeah.
Even right now. Yeah. But we took fucking Sven on. Then the Glazers would have come in. Fergie... Basically, I mean, we already had some of the building blocks in place. Let's say it was 2002, so you had Rude. You had Rude and you had Rio, but you wouldn't have added Rooney. You wouldn't have added Ronaldo.
Ronaldo would have never came.
No, you don't add Carrick. Yeah, I mean, Alan Smith.
We do get Schneider. But we do get Schneider.
I wonder what we would have ended up with.
Besides Alan Smith, Sir Alex used to go, oh, all these strikers remind me of Mark Hughes. That used to be his go-to saying.
Not really.
Scored a Mark Hughes ass volley on his first game.
But yeah, the point is that he held us together for many, many years. And what we're seeing now is the fallout of all that stuff that became before that. And we just have to accept that it takes a fucking long time to get through that. Like, it takes a long rebuild. If you want to do it properly...
Spurs did it on the fairly cheap, really. I mean, they blew a lot of money post-Bale.
What they won.
They didn't really invest it.
What they won.
They haven't won anything, but they've got themselves into a position to compete, which they previously... They're now consistent top four, top three finishers. Previously, they weren't top four. So they've leveled up. There's two ways to do it. One is the long, slow... Oh, you have a fluke, like where Leicester come in, went back, and then done.
Yeah.
There's the long, slow build-up, or there's the poor shit fuck loads of cash into it. And I mean, people go, well, Liverpool did it. Liverpool spent a lot of fucking cash.
A lot of money. They tried doing it.
Liverpool
will spend loads of money.
In the 90s and the noughties and had nothing to show for it.
They spent a lot of money before they started trying to sort of do it properly. And they started when they started doing it properly, it started working for them. It's the same thing that we're doing now.
I think in the 90s.
Yeah, maybe in the 90s, but I mean, they certainly haven't.
Newcastle outspent us in the 90s.
Oh, Newcastle when they were a big club.
I saw quite a good stat today, actually, by someone on Twitter. For your Monday reading, Liverpool scored about 1,800 goals in the league for nothing.
I mean,
92.
Yeah, I think this is it. Like, it takes proper time to do a proper rebuild.
1,800 pointless goals because they didn't win the league.
All right. But it takes proper time to do a proper rebuild if we want to do it the United way and do it properly where you integrate youth players and you start on building a style of play and working on that.
Well, I mentioned the warm down before. There was a period, I think it was post Busby. Post Munich, actually, that Busby didn't sign someone for. I'm sure it was from 1954 to 58. He didn't sign a player because he invested into the youth system in the very early 50s. Oh. Get down, Dees.
Got a visitor. It's all right. It's fine. He's going out to the video. There we go. Look at that.
And he just dipped into the youth system. I think we said this last time I was on. Wouldn't it be great if the first port of call was always, do we have a lad in the academy that can come in at left back now?
Yeah.
As the first port of call, rather than the last resort, which it seems to be for most people. Because I think, man, and I've said this loads of times as well, when transfer fees are getting into the 180, 190, 200 million sort of range, at what point do you spend 50 million a year on your academy?
Because
it will yield results.
It's also much more, if you want to be a businessman about it, it's so much more economically viable.
It's more sustainable. Even if you're Paris Saint-Germain and you're pumping money out of a country.
Hasn't worked.
I mean, it's worked domestically. Nobody cares
about the league. Like, the Ligue 1 is not a prize if you're Paris Saint-Germain. If you're Lyon, unless say Lyon do a madness this year and win it, not going to happen, obviously. But then it's a great achievement.
Now, there was a
play.
Team, I think, someone's probably going to be like, no, they didn't, they fucking blew it. But like, I thought they were built quite organically. They signed a lot of regional players themselves. Was it 9 in a row that Lyon won in 2000?
Something. I mean,
was done on the pretty cheap, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And funded by them selling a superstar every now and then and buying a couple more at like 3-4 million.
Yeah, I mean,
great at stuff like that because obviously they had like Gregory Coupe in that. They've got Benzema at the end.
SCN, that funded quite a few of them.
It works. I also think it's like much more, you know, I don't want to be that, oh yeah, we get the prize for being the most respected or something. But like, you take someone like Athletic Club in Bilbao, like, people respect them because of the way that they go about their business in hiring. And
they hamstring the shit out of themselves. They couldn't find a harder way to do what they're doing.
I know, but people respect it for the fact that they've still, you know, been top half of La Liga. Like, pushed at times, you know, should have won the Europa League under Bielsa when in the year that they knocked us out. You know, they play really nice football and... Yes, they haven't won anything, and I think, you know, that is, you're right, they shoestring themselves, hamstring themselves into doing it.
But look,
if they allowed themselves to have free non-Basque players who share the philosophy of the club, they probably won stuff, you know, and I think that is a way of doing it. But we need to find a way of doing that similar thing, not like where we only use Manchester players. I don't want that.
0-1-6-1 or fuck off.
I don't want that, but I do want to see our players, our youth players, integrated into the team, or players who share our philosophy. They can be from France, they can be from Argentina, they can be from wherever. I just want players that suit that philosophy of hard work and fight until the final minute.
Well, if we had a Basque-only policy, I mean, I was impressed as fuck. I was impressed with how cool they were. When me and Dave went to Bilbao, I sent them an email saying, is there someone we can speak to while we're there? And they're like, would you like to speak to our sporting director? I'm like...
Yes.
Are you fucking mad? Yeah, of course I would. And they're like, cool, come to the training ground. And then we go to the training ground, they're like, hey, thanks for coming. Go and wait in his office for him. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you open a door. We opened the wrong door when we walked into their training ground. And it was a canteen with all the players. They were like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, and then we went upstairs and we waited in the office. And the guy didn't speak the best English ever, but like, you really got... what the club was all about. And
you get that philosophy, right?
San Mamés is what a stadium.
Quality.
And what was awesome as well is that when we went to go and get our tickets, you can't buy tickets online for Bilbao.
You have to.
You probably get scalpers, I'm sure, online, but you have to go to the ground. They're like, how do I get a ticket? They're like, come to the fucking ground. Because guess what? They don't want anyone that's not from Bilbao watching them, which some go, well, that's limited. I kind of like it. I think that's their thing.
You need an element of that, right? We always get this, we only play players because they're from Manchester. No. I agree that, you know, some players who are getting game time shouldn't be getting game time based on the fact they're from Manchester, you know, they're not good enough, whatever. But it is Manchester United. Like, and anybody from anywhere in the world can be just as much of a fan as anybody else. You know, I was born in London, but I support United because my dad, whatever. You know, I can still be just as much of a United fan as somebody born in Manchester, whatever. But doesn't mean that you can put what you want to see as a football club and put it on Manchester United per se, just because that's the club you've decided you support. It, you know, it has values that come from the fact that it's in Manchester. That, you know, that shouldn't, and they shouldn't be changed.
But it's not, I meant to mention this a second ago, but it's not necessarily about Manchester only. I mean, I'm joking when I say that, because some of the greatest sons of this club are not from Manchester. No, Duncan Edwards is from Wolverhampton. George Best is from Northern Ireland. You know, Bobby Charlton, who is Mr. Manchester United, is from the North East.
Yeah, absolutely.
None of those players are all 161 money on the map, born and bred. Like, that's
yeah, which is what, you know, what I've been saying. It's not about where you're from at all. It's not about, you know, all the shit that Pogba's been getting, all the racist stuff. It's not about, like, people trying to justify that under, like, oh, you know, about the values of Manchester United, Manchester, whatever. Fuck off. It's not about that. It, you know, he could, is, and probably just as much as a Manchester United player as other people, because he shares values of the club. He works hard, whatever, whatever.
This guy here, Labouche's left, well, right, left shoulder, right shoulder, as you're looking at it, Paddy Evra, right? The guy was born in Paris. Tell me someone that got that than him.
No one. It's all about your attitude, your philosophy.
When
Whenever came, fully Norwegian, speaks with a Manc accent as well. When he came to the club, producer Evra sat down, watched videos about Manchester United back in the day, watched videos of Bobby Charlton, and he always talks about how, you know, to this day, whenever he sees Bobby Charlton, he comes up to him, he's very respectful.
Do you know
because
what?
Of all the stuff that
he told me something when I was with him. I mean, I've not really spoke too much about...
Still got the dog.
Online, yeah. I don't think about when we when I went over to Marseille and I got Evra on the video. That was in Evra's hotel room. That's his bed that we're sitting at the bottom of. Like, we hung out for a full night, really. We had like a 2-hour car drive going back from the stadium, from Marseille Stadium, to the hotel, which is the Intercontinental in Marseille. Which, if you're ever in Marseille and you've got the money to stay there, I fucking would, because it was absolutely outrageously good. But anyway, as we're going back, and we're talking about Manchester United, the identity of Manchester United, and what it means to him. And I said to him, "Oh, like, cause it's quite a famous story. He's mentioned it. It's, you know, it's been mentioned in books and stuff." Where he said, "I got the history books out." I said to Vidic, "Oh, we're gonna have to do some studying up here and all that lot." And I said, "Like, I believe you went to the museum and stuff like that." And he went, "Nah, I did more than that." And I went, "All right." And he goes, "I just used to take Bobby Charlton out for dinner." And I was like, "That's amazing." I'm like, one, I'm so fucking jealous.
Yeah.
Like, what a font of knowledge, and he's not very well at the moment as well, so I think the opportunity for anyone to do that has probably passed. But what an opportunity, and what a fucking bloke in Paddy Evra for just going, that's Mr. Manchester United right there. That is the source. I mean, this is... Bobby Charlton is as much Manchester United, a guy from the North East,
as you can be.
As you can possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, prior to Wayne Rooney, he was the leading scorer and the leading, obviously before Giggs, leading appearance maker at this club. Busby Babe, survived Munich, World Cup winner, Ballon d'Or winner, European Cup winner. Come on, man.
That's why I think he's one of the most... He's why he's, you know, not necessarily the best. He was a quality footballer. If you go back and watch videos and look at him,
world player, yeah,
well, yeah, exactly,
world
like true quality.
There's one, but two men that
won the
European Cup and
it's what I think makes him the greatest, one of the greatest footballers of all time, because of the stuff that he went through, and to perform at that level all the time consistently, to go through all that and still do it, and to be a quality guy like that. I think that makes you a great...
That's what Evra got it. I mean, if we'd have had a Basque-only policy, you don't have him.
Yeah, which is why...
You can't have him in the corner.
Which is why it's a shame, because it doesn't work. Because you look at players that would suit the philosophy of Bilbao, for example, but don't get in, obviously, because of a basic birthright rule. Whereas someone like Marco Asensio is a bit controversial, but could get in, and you'd say probably doesn't suit the philosophy of Bilbao.
If you're competing against Barcelona and Real Madrid, who've got essentially unlimited resources, what's your X factor as a club? And they've gone, fuck it, we'll just play Basque-only players. Yeah. And when you go in the museum there, spookily, we actually played Athletic Bilbao on the 6th of February 1957. Weird sort of thing. But when you go into their museum, that was on display in there. But they've got every player ever played in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the connection, I can't imagine what the connection must be like for those local fans when they go, every fucker that's ever turned out of that football club is from here and has stood here, most of them. That's something that you can't tell me it doesn't add an extra.
Top of the La Liga right now as well, so who knows? Great goal to win. Beat
it
Barcelona.
Just make you wonder, if you were a Bilbao player, what would be Like, obviously, if you, because you're from there, you'd sort of you'd probably support them, but you'd also wonder, like, what would your ambitions be? Because sometimes, like, they obviously get the players like Javi Martinez. I just went to Bayern Munich, and obviously we had Ander Herrera, and then, I mean, Iñaki Williams has just signed an 8-year contract there.
But he's been playing really well so far.
Yeah. There's some really excellent players coming through, but do you know why they get excellent players coming through? Because they have to
invest in their youth system.
They have to.
They invest in their youth system, and they churn out fantastic footballers. Herrera, because Llorente,
there's an urgency,
Iñaki, so many
good
players.
They have to bring these guys through because their pool is so fucking small that they have to develop what they've got.
Adariz is still, it's amazing, but he's got 37.
Adariz's career is so interesting because of the way that he was a true late bloomer. Like, he was an okay footballer, and then in like the twilight of his career, 29 to the age he's now, 38 or something, he really became a fantastic footballer. That goal, if you haven't seen it, Steve, the goal that he scored against Barcelona in like the final couple minutes to beat Barcelona on the opening day of the season, he's absolutely incredible. And you think this guy's 37?
Yeah, 37.
And he just basically, oh my god, he's unbelievable.
He gets in the Spain squad now as well.
Yeah, as
you comments
should be.
Here says Bilbao are full of it. They poach kids from other academies. Of course they fucking do.
We do.
Well, yeah,
we just bought somebody from Monaco.
Osasuna is a Basque country.
Yeah,
club,
yeah. Osasuna is.
Is it Osasuna? It's not Zaragoza. Who's the other one?
Sociedad.
Sociedad. Osasuna. Bilbao. That's it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you've got lower league.
Like, it's like the northern part of Spain into western France. There's like a little
very tiny part. It's like the middle bit of northern France, and you've got Galicia over there, and you've got obviously Catalonia with Barcelona.
Do you know how little they give a fuck for tourists as well over there? Like, you go over there and try speaking.
If you try to speak Spanish,
they just fucking look at you all weird. Like, I had to like pull out right out of my ass. How tall we ordered fajitas? I had to pull out every fucking Spanish phrase I could think of to order.
I wouldn't use.
I wouldn't even use
Spanish. You got to try and learn a couple words of Basque. That is what they speak. I remember when I went to Catalonia, I tried speaking Spanish. And they just weren't having it. You've got to learn Catalan. You've got to at least have a few words to be respectful. Same with the Basque region. You know, proper. Yeah,
we got the flag in there actually.
Yeah, we do. It's always behind.
Yeah, leave I probably need to take it down now. Ander Herrera's gone. But like, if I was gonna ever, you know, live and watch local football somewhere else, I think northern Spain would really get it because it's very similar climate. It's just like a hot version of Manchester, really.
Or the northwest of Ireland with Finn Harps.
Shut the fuck up. Jesus.
Ninth place. We're going to stay up, boys.
Oviedo in Segunda as well. Yeah, there's not many. There's a couple. But of course they poach from that because their policy is so restrictive. I think if you can get them through the door, I think their policy has evolved a lot lately. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's more or less largely like you have to have grown up in the region, played for an academy in the region, and I think they extended that the age of that to 17 after it being 16.
They've loosened it over the years, but it's a super interesting club, a super cool club that you know, you can take bits from it. You can take the spirit that they've managed to create by having only Basque players. You know, not to the same extent, we can create a similar spirit. Hopefully with more success by infusing what we see as United values in players.
The stadium's absolutely outrageous as well.
San Mamés.
Yeah, it's mint. And because it's an industrial shipping sort of town, all of the executive boxes, you do a stadium tour, all the executive boxes have shipping container doors on the outside of them. So as the entrance for them, all like nicely painted and stuff, obviously. But I love it. I thought it was fucking wicked. And like I said, in terms of looking after us, we'd sent them an email prior to us going, and then I must have just been the only English knobhead walking around in the stadium because they probably don't get many.
No.
And as I was halfway through the stadium tour, I got an email saying, enjoy your tour. And I was like, fucking hell, that's weird, isn't it? Because like, I hadn't gone, hello, everyone, I'm Stephen Olsen. I'd just gone and bought a ticket and gone on the tour. Yeah. And then I've got a fucking email from them like, oh shit, like looking at me.
No, I am. Yeah, it's on the football wish list, I want to go. Bilbao. It also looks like a quality place.
Where else are you? Go on, let's do this. Where's your football wish list?
Nice.
Get in the comments as well. Let us know where your football wish list is to go.
Bilbao, I've done it.
I want to
but
go
Union
to
Berlin.
Zero before that goes.
Before they knock it down.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. Bilbao. As I said, Union Berlin, who just beat Borussia Dortmund. I've been there already last season when they got promoted. It's a great, proper football club. 30,000, 25,000 capacity stadium. 20,000 of which is just standing. And it's really just deep German voices chanting the entire time. Absolutely mint. Quality beer. What more can you want from a football game?
I think I'm going to go watch Freiburg this year.
Oh, yeah?
I'd say my favourite European club is probably Atletico Madrid.
Oh, okay.
So I'll probably go and watch that.
New stadium, Metropolitano Wanda.
There we go.
I like as much as people maybe aren't a big fan of it. I really like their style of play in general.
Shut the fuck up, Rob.
I like how gritty they are and how aggressive and
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just like.
Well, if your neighbours were this glitz and glamour and white and gold Real Madrid, of course you're going to have a bit of an edge to
Lisbon, Benfica. I want to see Benfica. I always like Benfica.
Cantona's living in Lisbon at the minute.
Is he? There we go.
I've not been tapping up Otro like football. Yeah. Like, let me fucking go and speak to Cantona at a game.
Galicia, so like Vigo, Celta Vigo, something like that. Again, very sort of in a similar vein to Bilbao, very local sort of Galician stuff. Deportivo as well, I think, is the other one. Don't want to get them too mixed up. They've got a proper rivalry. Like Red Star in France.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say in
not Belgrade. No. But I want to go.
I would love to go.
Bit of Eastern European. Yeah. Yeah, man.
I went to Sofia and Ludogorets, which was insane. The pyro and
like a firework display.
Yeah, it was outrageously good.
Cluj, I want to go to as well. My mate's from Cluj, so I want to go over there and watch a couple of football games over there as well. So I just think that's one of the great things about football, is that if you want to experience the culture of a place, I think there was no better way of doing it than when you're in a country going and watching a local football game. So the first thing I did when I was in Portugal in the summer was I found like the local football team, went there, you know, weren't any pre-season games on, went into the club shop, got myself a scarf, spoke to some of the people there. You just immediately understand what's going on. It's just nice.
That's what I did.
It's nice. It's proper. It's mint.
I'm fucking doggy.
I know.
Do you know why he's doing it? Because you got a brew. Because he loves a brew. Yeah, finished that.
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing in it. Look at that. Yeah, he's straight gone.
In the summer, I went to Sturm Graz's ground because my brother lives out there. So
that's a different one.
I know, yeah. He works in...
But that's what I love about it when people go, where's the randomest place? I went and watched a Bahraini Premier League game. Fucking top that.
God's sake.
I know a couple of guys that are involved with LAFC as well.
LAFC is supposed to be good. Atlanta United also look like they actually have a good atmosphere, which is LAFC and Atlanta are like the two clubs where you could say they actually have like fans like in the European mold. Japanese football I want to go watch as well. That just looks mint.
Just culturally different. Like with everyone talking about the Chinese Super League, are you going to start switching the camera or what?
I am. What's the one where they go where they've got a lob and they like chainsaw of the log?
Timberwolves.
I tell you what else as well.
If you couldn't hear that,
South America.
Oh yeah, well,
oh, come
we've
on.
Got. I mean, I don't know how many of these I'm going to be able to get to do, but we obviously just need sponsorship to do it. But we'd written out a list, a wish list. Yeah, please sponsor us. Of places that, and the German one, I think we can probably get done. So but the doc, I'll just give you the titles if actually to find them.
I mean, I also think domestic football in the lower leagues is mint as well.
I mean, the Championship's one of the most underrated leagues in world football.
Yeah, I'm going to Charlton.
I think it's both Charlton, very high level and mental.
Yeah, I'm going to Charlton, Birmingham a couple weekends' time. That'd be good.
University, we got given free season tickets to watch Burnley.
Yeah, you were saying.
But Burnley, honestly, they scored like in a very crucial game against Middlesbrough. I think it was the third to last game. Michael Keane scored in like the 94th minute. Christ, there was about 20 fans running on the pitch. God knows how many fingers they all had. Eyes were flying open.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure attendance figures is always Bundesliga, Premier League, always swap around, depending on who has more games, whatever. Which specific teams are in the league. So Bundesliga will go down this season because Union Berlin have a smaller stadium. Ours will be down because we, you know, Southampton don't really always fill the stadium. When Man City didn't fill the stadium, still don't, to be fair, our stats always down. But they always swap around. Third place is, more often than not,
Championship.
It's mint.
Is the documentaries that we'd sort of started writing.
We've got a lot.
There's a few, but this is what we're... we're wanting to do, just for my channel. Eventually, my channel's going to sort of do less United content, and I just want to do more, like what Cop United generic was great at, because I just want to experience football all over the place. So, USA, soccer, football in America, Argentina, the land of God. Like that one. Oh,
that's very good.
There's a little thing you can do, like a little trip that you can do, which takes you to watch River, to watch San Lorenzo, to watch Boca. There's about 5 stadium and tours and museum tours. But then I wanted to talk to a couple of ex-players and stuff like that as well. And one of them, which would link perfectly into the next one, would have been Hernan Crespo, because I know his agent. So Crespo is one that I want to talk to anyway. And for my Italian documentary, I wanted to do what happened to Parma. Because when I was growing up,
it's fascinating.
When Italian football was huge on Channel 4, Parma were phenomenal. I mean, yeah. Cannavaro, Buffon, Zola, Asprilla. Oh,
Crespo went for a world record feed in Italy, Lazio, open Parma.
And then we're going to go to all these exotic places, and then I'm going to do a documentary on football in Ireland. I'll tell you what, it's mint, because it's all local clubs, and you have proper rivalries and proper fans. It is like...
Proper fans.
Yeah, they spin around really fast. They get nice lots of
the Germany, where fans run football. Yes. So I might be able to get that one.
Union Berlin.
Well, I'm thinking.
You want more of an example of it?
I really enjoyed Leipzig. I mean, they get a lot of shit because they're a plastic club. But look, Leipzig had the first team to ever win the Bundesliga was from Lokomotiv Leipzig. Okay. They had their club taken away from them, and then someone put another club there. It wasn't like another club in a city that already had a club. Like, no, these were people that didn't have a local football team. Uh-huh. But I'm going to go Freiburg. I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to go chill with Nishan Burkhardt, I think, and see what he's up to out there.
Ingolstadt were like two teams that just got merged in 2004. And it's like, they don't get stick.
Yeah. Well, that stuff like that is common in German football. So Union Berlin has been built up over the years literally by fans. So their stadium was entirely pretty much built by fans donating their time. Wow. In order to fund the stadium being built, fans literally gave blood to get money and donated that money to the football stadium. It's a proper. Like, it's a you know, a fan ran football club in every sense of the word. It's all funded by him.
The Dutch one, Ajax, how on a football club was the title of that one. Yep. And then for Africa, you know, I'd spoken to Evra about going to Senegal and watching a Dakar derby. There's also a potential to go do something with Quinton Fortune now.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't mind seeing if I could do seven games in seven continents. Just
I read a fascinating article in Mundial magazine, which is a great magazine about football, does stuff like that. And I read a great article in it. Mundial.
Oh yeah, Mundial.
Mundial was really good. And I read something about the Casablanca derby and football in Morocco and African
Morocco's
Champions League.
Morocco's fucked, mate. Have you seen how mental games look? Jesus. Mate,
that's what I'm saying, though. Imagine being amongst that would be...
Well, Greece as well, like Panathinaikos or Legia Warsaw in Poland, like, there's so much more to football.
Legia Warsaw, did you see what they did to Rangers?
Yeah.
The little Irish Catholic in me was like, yes, mate, I love that. That was absolutely sensational. Unveiling a tifo of Pope John Paul II in the Ibrox. You can't get better than that. Yeah, it's excellent. But not when he's not playing football anyway, so it doesn't matter.
We don't have that kind of senseless pride here. I think the problem in Manchester is people are too cool, or think they're too cool. Because I just remember standing out on my park around. That's the truth. Like, people think they're too fucking cool to get in a mix like that. Or if someone went and stood at the front with a megaphone, people are like, look at that dickhead, fuck off.
Nobody gives enough of a shit. Like, everybody's just sort of operating at
60%. Everyone wants everyone else to fucking do it. Someone else does that, I'll be in, but
you know, I care, but okay, everybody thinks they're Ian Brown and
Brown would get in a mix. He used to sit me out for years at the bottom of K. Borussia Mönchengladbach is a mint atmosphere.
I think most German clubs have mint atmospheres.
I think they do, because there's drinking on the terraces.
Why shouldn't that be allowed here?
Yeah, there's the fan culture of the fact that they have to own 50+1% of the
safe standing. I'm going to say it again. Safe standing in the Stretford end.
Yeah, without it being exact in the middle.
Yep, safe standing.
That's what blew me away with the we went to Leipzig. It was Frankfurt versus Leipzig at Leipzig. We got in the home ultra end, right slap bang in the middle. Couldn't have asked for it. If we'd have gone, I want to sit there. Like, that was where we got, and it was luck of the draw of where we bought the tickets. A little bit high up, but right slap bang in the middle, probably about 10 seats away from the knobheads with the drums and the megaphones who were having it. But we clearly didn't speak German. They clearly didn't speak English, but it was friendly, fucking grabbing you and getting you in the mix. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
We're jumping up and down now. Fucking, let's have it. Like, you're having it.
But that's what a football atmosphere should be all about. You should have that stand, which is where people just go mental. You should have a stand where you can go with your kids and enjoy yourself. Like that, and that stand can be loud and going on about it as well. Like, you can have that if you want. It just depends on how you plan a football stadium. And if United rebuild their state, like, have that, if they have a rebuild of, not a rebuild completely, but a
renovation,
there we go, that's the word I wanted, of Old Trafford,
proper renovation,
got to be a proper renovation, you've got to think about those things, and it's got to be done well. And I think stadium atmosphere, one of the reasons why I think we've had the mick taken out of us at home quite recently, is that the atmosphere is a bit, it isn't necessarily what it used to be all across the stadium. You know, bits of the Stretford end, bits of the South Stand.
The Red Army stuff that we've had this season seems to be working.
Yeah.
In terms of, it feels louder. The music cuts 10 minutes before the teams come out, and so it's just on the fans to build it up. It feels better.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better, which is where I think, I said it before, but the United Supporters Trust released a document, I think it was a year ago now. You can go and find it on their website or their Twitter feed or something, about if the United are going to renovate, here's how we think it should be done. And it's excellent. It talks about safe standing in the Stretford End, talks about lower price tickets for older, for like 18 to like 25 year olds who would be doing the ultra stuff.
You've got to let in, like, the knobheads.
Yeah,
you've got to find, like, a section
sensible,
3,000 knobheads. No, not sensible.
Sensible
absolute
knobheads.
Fucking weapons. That's what it's all about. They get beard up, they're away from the parents with a few of the mates, and they cause fucking carnage. And that's a good thing.
We do better away games almost, because we have the ultras there who are going mental anyway.
Yeah.
And therefore it creates a better atmosphere. We need to harness that, because we have a unlimited potential of fans who are ready to do that stuff. It's about how we cater it and do it.
If you blast up South Stand, you make the thing 100,000, clean out the bottom of East Stand, clean out the bottom of the Stretford End, put safe standing in there, charge £15, fill it with utter fucking weapons, and watch the atmosphere go.
I'd be there every week. Yeah. I'd be going mental. Like,
and maybe turn a blind eye to a bit of pyro every now and then, because it looks fucking awesome.
Let us bring our own bloody flags in.
It really annoys me, because...
you have to have does it have a fire safe certificate?
It annoys me.
Is it only 1 metre wide?
Because when you go to, like, European games, it's like, you basically go through turnstiles. You get molested by the stewards, and then you just sat there and it's like...
Not your favourite bit?
No, I hate it. And then it's like...
That's what I go for.
And then literally, it's like... And then you look at the away, and the first thing you see, they've all got the fireworks out, and it's like, right, so what have we been?
Not allowed a lid on me Fanta. This guy's got a fucking rocket.
And that's what you want. That is what we want.
The politician be like, listen, we want safety...
No.
First,
we have a family number. Stand for that reason. Yeah. We have a family stand for that reason. The Stretford End exists for people to be going mental in.
But realistically, we go, no, I want to fill it with absolute fucking weapons.
Yes.
I want more pyro than a black cat factory. I just want it going fucking off in there. Make it intimidating.
Mate,
does no one in there must be some, because even if you're just a director at the football
you've
club,
you've got to still
most
love
of
it.
Them must be football fans, I'm sure. Most of them just aren't businessmen. Most of them. Some of them clearly are. But most of them come at this surely from a fan's perspective that, no, I am a football fan first, and I'm fucking lucky to have this job. Don't they look at, like, it going off at Galatasaray and just go, fucking hell, I'd love it if it goes Old Trafford. From a marketing perspective,
it's
if
excellent.
The whole Stretford End was a fucking big red glowing...
Because then you get football tourists, you're like, oh, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I like this club now.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, you know, Union Berlin have made a lot of their money now.
Win everything,
that.
Have a load of fucking maniacs in there and just fucking...
I want Manchester, I want Old Trafford to be a place that people fear coming to, like, in like a, oh, we're going to lose this game and they're going to be going mental. I want that, and we don't have that. I don't, you know, when Paris Saint-Germain came, they were not terrified, and their fans took over half of Manchester, and there was nothing from us, because we were all coming along, yeah, come on, we'll have our Cokes with our bottle tops off. And
because I remember PSG fans were like, oh, we're going to be really, really loud, we're going to be the loudest away, which is, but I was like, after the game, I was like, yeah, they were really loud, but I was like, not many people bring over megaphones and whistles along with them as well.
Yeah, I want that. I want the guy who stands in front of the rest of the fans with a megaphone.
The guy who stands out
with
his megaphone will get fucking abused. That's just a fact. He will. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe if you're new around here. Get your questions, comments, and all that kind of caper in, and we will see you same time next week for more. Look, I told you at the start of the show that I was going to talk utter nonsense.
Yep.
So don't fucking complain when I talk utter nonsense. You know what I'm saying? See you in the next one. Laters.